In 1874, a plague of biblical proportions descended onto the Great Plains. Massive swarms of locusts blocked out the sun, covering the land like a living, writhing storm. Hordes of insects fell upon the farmsteads of America, consuming everything in their path. At its largest, the swarm contained over 12.5 billion locusts, the greatest concentration of animals ever recorded on Earth. Welcome to Shaking America, a history podcast. I'm Zach Knight. Sources for this episode will be listed on the website at shakingamerica.com and on streaming. The Homestead Act, the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad, and the end of the American Civil War led a great number of Americans to travel westward. They settled across the Great Plains, pushing out the native indigenous tribes in a series of violent conflicts, and formed farming communities throughout the American Midwest. For a while, they had success farming the fertile lands west of the Mississippi. Towns began peppering the expanse of the plains as more and more people moved into the region. Irish, Scottish, and Scandinavian immigrants arrived by the tens of thousands, hoping to start a new life in the American heartland. Their prosperity did not last long. In 1873, the country fell into a major economic recession. This was followed by an unusually cold and brutal winter, and a summer with prolonged periods of drought. Then the rains came, several weeks of nonstop storms that flooded many of the river towns along the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. Many farmers' businesses were bankrupted by the unfortunate series of circumstances, but the worst was yet to arrive. The unusual weather in the spring of 1874 proved to be the perfect breeding conditions for the Rocky Mountain locust, a species of grasshopper. Locusts are grasshoppers that undergo a specific physical transformation as a result of extreme stress. Not every species of grasshopper can morph into a locust. The Rocky Mountain locust, in its grasshopper form, was normally a solitary, harmless, unremarkable creature that was rarely more than a small nuisance to farmers. However, they can become a massive problem under very specific conditions. When there's long periods of dryness followed by weeks of heavy rain, they can morph into highly social insects with much larger jaws and wings. They then swarm, moving as one in a buzzing cloud of aggressive locusts. As they travel, they pick up other nearby grasshoppers, transforming them into locusts, gathering more and more as they go. These locust swarms can last years, and have been a problem across all of human history. Locust plagues have been recorded devastating farmers from ancient Egypt to medieval China and beyond. For the Midwestern farmers, the locusts could be heard long before they were seen. The beating of billions of wings sounded like a roaring hurricane. Shortly after, the sunlight dimmed, and a strange darkness began to spread across the sky. The locusts then descended onto the plains. They flattened and consumed entire fields of corn and wheat, and stripped fruit orchards completely bare. Sometimes so many locusts landed on a tree at once that the branches would break under their combined weight. After they had devoured everything they could find in the fields and on the trees, the locusts turned to the farmers' houses. They found their way through any openings, gaps in doors, open windows, holes in the walls, and entered people's homes by the thousand, clearing out food cupboards and eating everything not secured in metal containers. They even ate pieces of cloth, devouring curtains, bedsheets, and clothing in their ravenous hunger. In some cases, they were even recorded eating the clothes off people's backs. At night, farmers would beat their bedding against the wall to dislodge as many locusts as they could, and when they woke in the morning, they would have to repeat the process once more. A common joke from the period was that locusts ate everything but the mortgage. Almost the entirety of the American heartland was engulfed in a living, all-consuming swarm. In some places, the locusts blocked out the sun for as long as 6 hours at a time. Even when the sunlight pierced the swarms, it was difficult to see. The amount of locusts in the air dramatically reduced visibility. Eyewitnesses stated it was akin to trying to see in a heavy hailstorm. The locust swarm at its peak was more than 100 miles wide. The plague devastated massive areas of land, stretching from Wyoming east to Minnesota and all of the way south to northern Texas. County judge and meteorologist Albert Child developed a method to estimate the swarm's size by communicating with other scientists via telegraph, and ended up calculating that the various swarms covered anywhere between 198,000 square miles up to a remarkable 2 million square miles. To put it into perspective, the plague was as large as the states of Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Vermont put together. It remains, to this day, the single largest concentration of animals ever recorded. While the farmers were certainly shocked and terrified of the swarms, they almost immediately began fighting back. Their first attempt involved digging trenches around the farm fields, filling the trenches with sticks and kindling, and then setting them on fire, creating a blazing barrier that stood between the crops and the locusts. However, the locusts were largely undeterred, and could smother and put out the fires with the sheer mass of their numbers, flying over their smoldering brethren to continue their assault. The farmers, in their desperation, tried everything. They dragged heavy ropes through the fields, threw sticks of dynamite at the locust, and in later years even created what they called hopper dozers, makeshift mechanical inventions that caught the insects en masse. They're kind of hard to describe, honestly. Just look up hopper dozer online. There's pictures of them. They look kind of crazy. Ultimately, none of their efforts were successful, and thousands of families began moving away from the Great Plains, giving up the fight and fleeing the horde of insects, heading further west to California or back east to where they started. However, many families simply could not flee. Many had debts that they could not run from or simply lacked the funds to travel. That joke from before, the locusts ate everything but the mortgage. Like every joke, it has some element of truth in it. A great number of farmers had taken out loans to start their homestead, and now that their homestead was completely devastated and devoid of crops, they were destitute. Government disaster aid was very different from what it is now. Federal relief was very rare, and the state governors often were reluctant to provide help. Those families that stayed relied upon local charity, or went hungry. Not all of them made it. The fact that many were newly arrived European immigrants prevents historians from knowing the true number of people lost to the locust plagues. But for years, it was not uncommon for graves to be marked with a simple wooden headstone that read, "Starved to Death." As the disaster continued into 1876, the federal government finally sprang into action. A program was put into place that allowed the devastated farmers to move and work elsewhere without relinquishing their homestead claims, allowing them to earn enough money to provide for their families. They also provided relief in the forms of money and food, which was granted as long as at least two witnesses could claim that the farmers had lost their crops to the locusts. The U.S. Army was called in to provide heavy winter coats, boots, and blankets to the settlers, and to count the dead. They also supplied around 2 million army rations to the beleaguered families they came across. Fortunately, by the end of 1876, the locust swarms began to slow down. A heavy winter filled with powerful snowstorms killed billions of eggs that were laid the summer before, dramatically reducing their numbers. New legislation also had an impact. In 1877, Nebraska passed the Grasshopper Act. Why did I write it that way? Nebraska passed the Grasshopper Act, enlisting every able-bodied man from the ages of 16 to 60 to spend at least 2 days a week killing locusts. Other affected states created similar bounty systems intended to curb the locust population. American farmers also switched to crops such as winter wheat that are harvested in the early summer, avoiding the locusts that hatch and migrate in the spring. Less than 30 years later, the Rocky Mountain locust was quickly heading towards extinction. The last recorded Rocky Mountain locust was seen in 1902, and they are now believed to be functionally extinct. The insects that terrorized much of America for years disappeared as quickly and mysteriously as they came. Scientists aren't sure why they went extinct, but theories about the rapid expansion of agriculture destroying their hatching grounds are popular. Other major locust swarms, made up of different species of grasshoppers than the Rocky Mountain locust, still occasionally form. There was a notable swarm in the upper Midwest around 1930, and outside of the U.S., swarms have been recorded as recently as 2022 in South Africa. However, they are not nearly as overwhelming as the swarms of the past. Two new inventions, pesticides and flamethrowers, have proved to be extremely effective against the insects. The world has never seen anything like the 1874 swarms since. Also, pesticides and flamethrowers sounds like the name of a death metal band. Just throwing that out there. Thanks for listening to this episode of Shaking America. If you want to support the podcast, click the Ko-fi link, which is apparently pronounced Ko-fi and not Ko-fi, which is how I've been pronouncing it for over a year now. Click the Ko-fi link and you can help support the podcast monetarily. Or you can tell a friend about the podcast. Both are tremendously helpful. I also now have a Substack called Shaking America, where I will occasionally post written episodes of the podcast, as well as other inane ramblings. I'm Zach Knight. Thanks again, and I'll catch you next time.